What's up, guys? Pastor John here. We pray that this message encourages you in your faith journey, and we believe that God has an incredible plan for your life, and our hope is that tools like this sermon will help you become who He has created you to be. Now listen, in order to truly flourish and thrive like God intends for your life, it takes community. What I mean by that is we don't believe that simply by attending church online alone that you're going to be able to become every bit of who God has created you to be and who you want to be. To grow spiritually, you need other people. And we would love to help you connect with other people right here at Greenhouse. True growth happens when we're rooted in a community that supports, uplifts, and walks alongside us. And so with that in mind, we would love for you to join us in person on Sundays right here at Western High School or in microchurches throughout the week. Listen, if you don't live near our church here in South Florida, please reach out to us. We would love to help you find and thrive in a local faith community near you. We're excited to partner with you as we all become passionate followers of Jesus. God bless you.
Good morning, Greenhouse Church. Good morning. And all of the caffeinated people said, amen. And the daylight savings, anti-daylight savings people said, okay, it's okay. No shame. That clock did some witchcraft at around like 2 a.m. and everything was different. So it's all cool. Listen, my name is Kyle. I serve as your microchurch director, and I have the privilege of bringing you the word today. Pastor John with JC and Pastor Malik are actually in Guyana now doing some great work. So let's all just turn around and say, what's up, Guyana? There it is. That's our family there. And I am here, and I'm excited because we are continuing in our series called Reorient. Somebody say Reorient. Reorient. Yes, this is a series where we're exploring what it looks like to be a modern day church of Acts. Now you say, okay, like what's the big deal about being a church of Acts? Well, I'm glad you asked. The church of Acts was actually a group of believers that was in the middle of some really tense times, some political conflict. There were some people who needed to know Jesus and didn't know him. There were some people who thought they knew Jesus, but they didn't know him. And yet, in the middle of all of that, there was revival. There were people whose lives were being changed, and all the different people groups came together, and that's what we see as a church, and that's what we want to be as a church. And if we're honest, that sounds a lot like our context. So if we're going to be what the church in the book of Acts was, then that means we have to do what the church in the book of Acts did. And they reoriented their life around several things. So we're going to continue with that, and we're going to look to see what they did. So stand up on your feet for the reading of God's word. If you have your Bible, wave that thing in the air. Wave like you just don't care. If you have the Bible app, wave that thing. We're going to be in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. If you got it, say, I got it. If you don't got it, say, wait on me. I'm going to wait. I'll wait for you. I wish I had a Miami Dolphins joke or a dad joke, but I don't, and that's the joke. All right? Amen. Thank you. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12, and it reads like this. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica. That's shade. I'll tell you why in a second. They received the word in all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Verse 12, many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as Greek men. Bow your head and let's pray. Father, I ask for clarity of thought and concision of speech. I pray that the hearts of these, your people, would be good ground and that we can learn from this book of Acts Church, these believers in Berea. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. On your way to your seat, give your neighbor a high five. If you are married and only married, you may kiss them. Don't kiss them if you don't know them. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloodied but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms the horror of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Family, I just read to you the words of William Henley. This young man penned this poem as he was recovering from what was at the time a fatal illness of tuberculosis. And while he was recovering from this near-death experience, he penned this powerful resolve that he was the master of his fate. And the 28-year-old did something brave. He took what life attempted to throw at him, and he threw it back. Relying on self-determination and personal strength to make it through the hardships of life, he was determined that he had everything he needed to fight life alone. Although, unfortunately, he wouldn't, because 2 decades later, he would actually lose the battle to that same illness. And even though he didn't make it, his ideas lasted. See, the themes of this poem, Invictus, were all about how in him he had everything he needed to face life. And these themes lived on past him. They were, this poem that I just read you was quoted from everybody. I mean everybody, from Winston Churchill to Tupac Shakur. This was a widely held belief that everything you need to accomplish your toughest challenges in life is in you by yourself. Now, this wasn't just a time, and this isn't a theme that was in our time in 1875. This was also in the Church of Acts. So in the Church of Acts, there was a group of philosophers, and they were Stoics, and they called Stoicism, and they said, hey, listen, the strength that you need to conquer the world is inside. It's in you, and it's all you need to do is look inside and dig in. And they said that, and they believed that, and it was a transcendent idea that even some of us, we hear today. Oh, you guys know. There are influencers that'll tell you all you need to do is look in. They're all you need to do. You don't need anybody else. I can do what? I can do bad all by myself, right? You. I don't need you. I'm a strong, independent person. I'm capable. It's this mantra. And social media and celebrities and all of these people will tell us that everything we need for our life is in us. But here's the problem. When life comes and life happens, and when the pressures and the hardships of life shakes those ideologies, oftentimes what that leaves us is more alone and more broken than where we started. If culture says, hey, look, you have it, it's in you, all you have to do is look in, you're great, you're awesome, you're excellent, there are so many great people who are going to like your post, and they're going to follow you, and they're going to do everything, and you're good, but sometimes you know the truth, and when life gets hard, culture will tell you to look in. But the Church of Acts, if anybody was in a hard time, it was the Church of Acts. I said before, they were in the middle of all this political turmoil. Everything was going on. And yet, when stuff got hard, the Church of Acts didn't look in. The Church of Acts looked up. So where culture would tell us now, if we want to be the Church of Acts, if we want to follow what they did, if we want to be who they were, we have to follow what they did. And what culture says, look in, we take notes from the book of Acts and we say, no, we look up. And you say, how? Okay, how do they do this, Kyle? Like, make this make sense. How do they look up? It's right here. We talked about this last week. Acts 2:42. They did two things. It's right here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking bread and the prayer. This is the key. This is the key for becoming that church of Acts. If we are going to be like them, then we had to do what they did. And what did they do? When stuff got hard, when they wanted to build the church, when they wanted to go in, that's awesome because we all want to build the church. And some people are here and you're like, yo, I have so many friends who don't know Jesus and I want them to come to Jesus. Great. So do we. That's what we believe. But how does this happen? How do we do it? We look up instead of in. And in this text today, in Acts chapter 17, we see a case study of this. We see a group of believers in the church of Berea who was a small town. This wasn't a massive trade route. So scholars actually say that to get to Berea, it was out of the way. So it wasn't very significant. But this very seemingly insignificant group of disciples had a large impact on the world and Christianity to where we're talking about them thousands of years later. And if we want to be that church, and if we're saying, okay, like, yo, we want to have an impact, we want to see our family saved, we want to see South Florida saved, this is what we do. We have to devote ourselves to the fellowship and to the teaching. Now, if you say, Kyle, that just sounds great, like, okay, cool, the fellowship and the teaching, I don't see that. Where did they do that? Let's take a look. You guys ready to take a look? All right, we got two stopping points today. And here's the thing. One thing, let me give you this. If we are told that what we need is in us by culture, Christ, the one who designed us, gives us the truth of what we need to flourish. And that is this big idea, it's on the screen. We don't flourish in isolation. We flourish through Christ-centered community, not isolated self-sufficiency. I'm going to say it again. We flourish through Christ-centered, the one we were singing, Christ-centered community, not isolated self-sufficiency. And this is what the church did. This is what they did. And you say, like, what's the magic sauce? What's the secret sauce? How do we explode? How do we do this? How do we reach the world? Like this. This is how we did it. Let's look in Acts chapter 17 to see the two things that they did that we can do. All right? Acts chapter 17, verse 10, it says, then the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away tonight to Berea, and they arrived and went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Remember, I said that was shady. I said, why would Luke write this? Like if you write in the Bible, don't say stuff like that. He's like, these people were better than those people. But why? It's right here. Why? Because they received the word with eagerness. How do we flourish as a Book of Acts church? How do we do this? How do we become ready? The first thing we have to do, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The first thing we have to do is we have to get in the word. Look at your neighbor and say, get in the word. They were noble. They were noble. Why? Because they received this with eagerness. This was something that was the literal translation for that word there, is that they were ready. They were ready for the scripture. They had been pointed to a Messiah all through Old Testament. So at this point, they have the Old Testament, and that's all they got. And that's cool, but they read it, and in that, they saw this thread in this line of in the prophecies of one who would come. So they loved the word so much that when Paul came to them, they were like, yeah, that, the word. Okay, it's making sense. Why? Because they were in the word. And if we're going to be a Book of Acts church, we have to be in the word. Now, when I read this the first time, I was like, okay, but like, this is Old Testament. So what's the word? Like, we don't even have the Bible yet. The Bible isn't even finished. In the Book of Acts, what we see a very awesome thing. The Holy Spirit comes down. Jesus goes up. The Holy Spirit comes down, and all of the disciples get boldness. And their boldness, and then all of the disciples are now apostles. And now they're going out, and they're teaching. But if you look at what they're teaching, all they're teaching is all of the Old Testament plus Jesus. So at that time, all they had was, listen, we know you have the Torah. We know you have the law, Moses, the law, and the prophets. We know you have that. But let me tell you, like, the guy that you guys are reading about, He's here now. Like, it was actually Jesus. He actually came. So all the apostles' teaching was everything in the Word through a Christ-centered view. Now, this is important because we have a society where everybody's a scholar. Everybody's a self-proclaimed expert. And if you ask me, I am also a self-proclaimed expert. I can teach you how to make quesadillas better than anybody else. Even though I learned from ChatGPT, I'm an expert, right? And what we have is we have people out here and they're saying, they're using this word, they're taking up the word, and they're saying, oh, I know what your Bible, I know what your book really means. You don't know what your book really means. I know what it means. I went on TikTok, the devil's app. I went on TikTok this week and, no, I'm joking. And I said, what is Christianity? And as I scrolled, I had all the experts tell me, oh, Christianity is a white man's religion. You can't trust that. Oh, no, Christianity, it's actually used from the Kemetic scrolls, and it's actually from Nefesh, and it's an ancient Egyptian, and the sun isn't really the Jesus, it's the... What? The sun's not Jesus, it's the sun is really the sun in the sky, and it went down for 3 days, and then it was a moon, and then... What? That's not the gospel. That's not Old Testament fulfilled in Jesus. That's not what's going to bring us the life. That's not what we dig into. And if we're not careful, people will take little parts of Scripture, and we hear parts of Scripture, we say, oh, yeah, oh, they're solid. Whew, deep. When what they're teaching isn't the whole counsel of the Scripture. The whole counsel of the Scripture is everything in the Old Testament fulfilled in Jesus and everything in the New Testament. And if we're going to be a people and a body of believers that are passionately seeing regular people follow Jesus, we have to get into the Word. And that's what, amen. And that's what the Word is. All of the Old Testament, including Jesus. So I said, okay, cool. So that's awesome. But how does this look? Because honestly, if you're like me, I am not the biggest reader. Anybody? Oh, y'all gonna leave me hanging? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, my brother in arms. I'm not the biggest reader. And I'm like, Lord, I would so love to just have my devotion, my one-page devotion, my 5 minutes with you, Jesus, and we're good. My one-page devotion, the verse of the day, a verse of the day keeps the devil away. See, y'all know, yeah. That's good, and if that's where you are, great, awesome. That's great. But what we see this Church of Acts do, what we see the Bereans do, it's more than just a once. It's more than just a few verses. They were pouring themselves into Scripture. They were pouring themselves, and this is crazy because in that time, the vast majority of the people were illiterate. So what does that mean? That means that it was an oral tradition that was passed down. So how can you quote and how can you know Scripture that you don't have read down? You have to memorize it. So these people, they were like, yo, okay, I don't even know what a book is. They're just like me, amen, don't like books. But they internalized his word. They internalized all of the teachings in their heart. The Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. So there are things that when we get his word in us, it starts to work through us. Because when the word of God gets a hold of your heart, then it has the hold of your hands. But some of us only have the word of God in our hands and not in our heart. But the Church of Berea is calling us to daily get in the word. Look what it said. It says, they search the Scriptures daily. Daily. Now, let me tell you, I was so on this. I had my Bible app. Any Bible app users? Bible app, cool. So if you don't have the Bible app, super awesome app. You should totally download it. But I had the Bible app, and I was in my word daily. And I was like, oh, I am so good, and look at how noble I am. And I opened it one day, and I had a streak, of 299 days. And I was, whoo, whoo, whoo. I was disgusted. I was walking, y'all would have been sick of me. I was walking around the house, I was like, Ann, what's your streak? 50 days, too bad. Okay, I have 299 days. I am always in the Lord's word. I am always here. And what happened? Y'all know what happened. Day 300, all of hell was against me via TikTok. I told y'all it was the devil's app. Via TikTok, and 12:01 the next day came, and I was like, oh, wait. I went to my Bible app. What does the streak say? Zero. And I went on a death spiral. I was like, oh, woe is me. I was so holy, and now I'm not holy, and I'm not consistent, and oh gosh, I don't love you, Lord. And a lot of this guilt that I put on, because reading the Bible daily isn't a legal thing. It's not read the Bible every day. No, there is life in the Word. The word of God is rich. The word of God has life for us. So when they were reading and they were listening to the scriptures, they recited them daily. And that's the call for us. It's the heart posture of daily. Now I hear you. Trust me, I hear you. I know. You guys are saying, Kyle, 7 days, stuff happens. Some kids are a whole thing. My job, I have flip schedules. Okay, cool. 6 days? I get you. I still get you. I got you. 6 days is a little tough because then you have your 2 days off from work and stuff. 5 days a week? Well, that's understandable. 5 days is a lot. But what would happen if for 4 days in a week, just 4 days, 4 days we were in God's word? What would happen if we took our alarms and we set them and we said, okay, cool, in the morning, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to have a cup of coffee because caffeine makes me a better Christian, amen, and I'm going to read 4 days. What happens if it's 4 days? Let me tell you, there was a study that was done, and you might have heard it, but if you didn't hear it, check this out. A study by the Center of Bible Engagement found that reading the Bible at least 4 times a week has dramatic life-changing effects. Here are some of the effects. 68% lower odds of infidelity in marriages. 61% lower odds of consuming inappropriate content. 74% lower odds of gambling. Watch this. 228% more likely to share your faith. 4 times. 228% more likely to share your faith. 231% more likely to disciple others. The whole call and the whole book of Acts, everything that we're living out is the Great Commission. Going, making disciples. Look at this. In a culture where we're so super connected, but so lonely, look at what it says. It says feelings of loneliness drop by 30%. People who struggle with anger drop by 32%. Bitterness in relationships drop by 40%. This is the power that the Berean church was walking in because they were in his word. What happens to your life? How much better do you feel? How much better is your life going to be this week when you say, you don't know. Yeah, 4 times. I could do four. I could do four. Four for four. I could do it. What happens if I spend 4 days, 4 weeks spending 4 days in God's presence? What happens is this fullness. The more that we get the word inside of you, the more that you realize that the word is life. And this is what the Berean church did. They saw the word as life. 2 Timothy, it's not on the screen, but 2 Timothy says this. Oh, no, it is. It should be there. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching. That word, breathed out by God, theanostas. That's the Greek word, theanostas. Everybody say theanostas. Y'all so smart. Y'all, theanostas. That's, y'all speak Greek, right? Breathed out by God and profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Look what it says here. That the man of God, man or woman of God, what? May be complete. Complete and equipped for every good work. And this is what the resources. This is the hidden gem. This is, it's right there, but this is the gem of Scripture. Scripture is what God uses to give us life. And they had it, and they have life, and they spent time in it. And the more that they spent time in it, the more that they lived. Scripture was life to them. And Scripture is life to us. Some of us here, we've come here, and you don't know. You're like, yo, I'm confused. Like there is so much going on in this world, and I don't know what my next job is. I don't know what my next move is. I don't know what's going on. Scripture says, Psalms 119, His word is a lamp unto your feet, and it's a light unto your path. What does that mean? It means it shows you where you are, and then it shows you where to go. His word has the power to confront you. It'll meet you in this word. We prayed earlier today about God seeing us and God knowing us. And in his word is a letter. It's a love letter of how much he's seen us and how much he knows us to the point where he sends his son for us. So if you're confused, you say, okay, like I get you, man, but I just don't know what I'm doing. His word. Right? If you're scared because there are circumstances that look like they're overwhelming, then his word says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's his word. It's the word is life. If somebody's sad and you're grieving and there's all these seasons of grieving, the word says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy, life, like energy comes in the morning. 2 seconds from giving up, I know this is me, 2 seconds from giving up, or was me, giving up at your job, anybody got one of them jobs, and you clock in and you got the Sunday scaries because you reach out and you see it's Monday coming and you're like, yo, I got to do this all over again. And you got to be a Christian and you got to be a disciple in an environment that's not full of disciples and they be trying you and they don't know you that kind of disciple. And if they try you too many times, right? God's word says, hey, listen, it's okay. Do everything not unto earthly masters. Work everything you do. Do it unto God. Do it unto God. If you say, man, like, listen, I get you, Kyle, but honestly, the truth is I am just tired. I am fatigued. I don't know how I can keep going. This is already February, or this is March. Hello, somebody. I said February. This is March, and I'm tired, and I don't know how I can keep on. Then the word says, have you not seen? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's his word. It's his word that gives us life. It's his word that gives us life. And we can, listen to me, we can walk in the God-purchased freedom and authority daily when we get in his word daily. Jesus said it like this. Jesus says, I am the vine. John 15, it's not on the screen, but he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will bear much fruit. But Jesus also said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Separated from the life, you don't have the ability. In yourself, the culture, the cultural lie, Jesus says, you can't do it without me. So what did he say? So what do they do and what do? We get in his word. Now, this is the part where everybody's like, yeah, get in his word. Awesome. And then you go home and you dust off the Bible and you open it and it says, in the third year of Jehoiakim, Joseph begat, this one begatteth, thou mightieth, the law of he. Listen, if you pick up the book of the Bible and you start in Leviticus, God bless you. Not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But if you get in the Bible, sometimes, and I'll say this, sometimes because I feel this, sometimes we might be intimidated by Scripture because it's a lot. Like, it's a lot, right? But there are different versions that you can read. This is practical. I'm just telling you. Like, there are different versions you can read. So if you're not a they, thou, thine, must, glorieth, which I am not, right? You can get a translation that's better for you. So there are different translations. And there are translations that make it easier for you. So when you go to Scripture now, you can say, we want to move anything that would stop you getting your 4 for 4, right? We want to move anything that would get in the way of getting into the Word of God. And people have done that and written the Bible in plain English. Amen? Amen. So what do? We're going to find a version. If you have the Bible app is awesome. Recommend you download it. Find a version of the Bible that you can understand. And then on the screen behind me is a QR code. This is the QR code. This is what we do. If we're going to get 4 for 4, this is what we need to do. If you say, I don't even know where to start, Kyle, like you said, don't start in Leviticus. Where do I start? Okay, right here. You can take out your phones. It's okay. Like, take out your phone, scan the QR code. This is the Bible app. We have plans. There are plans that can walk you through the Scripture, right? And if you want, like me, you get real gangster with it. I'm an auditory learner and listener, so I just push play and it'll read to you. Oh, y'all are not impressed by that. I was super impressed. I'm sorry, it was just me. Maybe it's just me. The Bible reads to me and I'm like, I'm shocked, I'm floored, because I'm getting all of the Word. And remember, the Word is life. And spiritually, I wonder what we look like as far as our spiritual life. Are we full? Are you walking around full? You know, people say now, like, oh, to get yours, like, if you're full, like, you're full of the Spirit, you're full of this Word, right? Are we full? Are we a little hungry spiritually? Because Snickers has it right. You're not yourself when you're hungry. Spiritually, you're not yourself when you're hungry. But this is how we're going to be ourselves. We're going to devote ourselves to His Word. Somebody say, get in the Word. Whew. Next, the second thing we see them do, we see them getting in the Word with people. Okay, Kyle, I did my 4 for 4. I got stuck on day 4 because I don't know these words. It's okay. Listen, look at what they did. In Acts 17, they lived together, and they had an all-time low literacy rate. So remember, we said they didn't read at that time. So what did that mean? That means they had to get together with the word that they had, and they had to recite it in front of other people to make sure it was right. So you get in the Word by yourself, and then you get with other people in the Word. Y'all tracking with me? Get in the Word by yourself, then you get with other people in the Word. So it got to the point, they got together with the Word, and they knew the Word so much that, check this out, the Bible says, they received it with eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if the things Paul was saying was true. They fact-checked Paul. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and they were like, yeah, let me go back and see if this is actually right. They were a community who was devoted to understanding the Word of God, because it's not just enough to know the Word, but you have to properly understand it. When Jesus was tempted and he went away, he was tempted for 40 days. The enemy was throwing at him, well, the Word, it is written, you know, the Word says you can throw yourself down and he'll give his angels charge over you. Every response that Jesus gave him was the Word. They were playing like word chess. Satan was misusing the Word. Jesus was appropriately using the Word. So it's not enough just to know it. We have to understand it. And how do we understand? We understand it together. We understand it together. They fact-checked Paul. Listen, I remember when I first started coming to Greenhouse, I rolled up on a microchurch, and Andrew Wilson was teaching on a gospel where there's this whole scene where this Syrophoenician woman comes up, and she's asking something of Jesus, and Jesus is like, oh, whoa, hey, you know, it's not good for me to give the bread, the children's bread, to the dogs. And I was in microchurch, and I was like, whoo! Jesus called that woman a dog? Hoo-wee! Boy, this got wild, boy. I mean, I still love you and all, but boy, that is, this is cancel culture worthy, my good Jesus, right? Like, and then he's like, what do you think we mean? And we're like, oh, I don't know. But the actual translation there, the translation of the word, is canarion. So that word that he refers to her as wasn't derogatory dog. It was a pet name for a puppy. Now, if we weren't in community, I'd have walked away. And if somebody was like, hey, Jesus calls women dogs, I'd be like, ah. I don't know. Hey, look at the sky, man. Jesus made the sky, though, right? But because I was in community and because we were in a microchurch going through the word, if somebody's like, oh, man, like Jesus is misogynistic. No. Jesus loves women. Matter of fact, when Jesus rose, the first person he gave the gospel to was a woman. And this is the power of not just knowing the word, but understanding the word together. And you say, okay, Kyle, I get you. I can get in the word, but people are messy. Yeah, anybody got that testimony? Christians are messy. Y'all don't raise your hand. That was a trick question. I'm joking. But people are messy. It's the truth. People are messy. I can just, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Me and the Lord and a verse a day will keep the enemy away. Right? No. What happens when you have all the word and you don't have community? This is how important community is. If you don't have community, your theology can go off track. So what was the apostles' doctrine, what was the gospel, and what was recited can then turn into different things. So if all I have is algorithm theology, social media soteriology just being a word for how I'm saved, if all I have is social media soteriology, then I'm going to think it's okay to pray to God and ancestors. Or I'm going to think it's fine to burn things while listening to worship music, burning sage and different things, where you need community to be like, whoa, wait, no. Actually, there's only one mediator between mankind and God, and it's the man Jesus, right? It's getting in community to understand the word properly. So if you don't have community, your theology can drift. You have nobody to call out your blind spots. Listen, my wedding, I didn't post the picture because it's too embarrassing. My wedding, I've been married to my beautiful wife Ann now for 2 years and 1 month. Woo-woo. And that's an applause for her because she had to put up with me. And while on our wedding day, I was so snazzy. I had everything right. I was good. Swagger, okay? But in all of the pictures, I noticed one detail. My tie was crooked. So we spent all this money on decorations and photographers and everything, and my tie was crooked. And because everything was moving and rushing, my tie was crooked, y'all, for like a lot of the pictures. So a lot of the pictures, Anne is here, flat dead gorgeous, and I'm over here. Yeah, I'm all that. And it wasn't until my best man was like, bro, your tie. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, your tie's crooked. And I'm like, oh, thank you. If you don't have community, you don't have someone to tell you when your tie's crooked. And it's not comfortable, but it's better to have somebody in love, faithful, gentle as the wounds of a friend. Like it's better to have somebody who loves you in community, in his word, to be like, yo, your tie's not straight. And this is what the importance is of having community. The enemy would love to just have us in one or the other, but without community, we lose orthodoxy. We lose the rightness. We lose the power. And if we have community, you say, yo, it's okay, Kyle. Cool. I got community. But if you have community and no word, if your community's not getting into the word, then all you have is a group of students, smart, awesome, show up to class, and leave before the test comes. So what do? We get in the word. We're going to get in the word, and then we're going to get with people in the word. Now, how do we do that? On the screen right here, there is a QR code. If you need a group of people, we have a group of people. You say, okay, Kyle, like, I would love to get in the word. I'm down for the 4 for 4, but I need help. Perfect. We have help. We have microchurches. Clap your hands if you're in a microchurch. Awesome. Now, if the person next to you didn't clap, invite them to your microchurch. Okay? We have groups of people devoted to getting into the word, to getting into life, and to helping each other live. Now, what happens? What happens when this happens? What happens when we get a hold of this truth? The book of Acts happens. Revival happens. People get saved. People's lives are transformed. People who are far from Jesus get close to Jesus. Everything that we say we want, that family member that we've been praying about and we put them on the VIP card, what happens when we get into the Word 4 times a week and we get with our people? We have now enough Word in us to evangelize, and that we have a group of friends who aren't weird and who are super cool that they can go through life with. And it sounds great and it sounds awesome, but the truth of the matter is we can't do this. We can't get either right without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Word is complicated and people are messy. And Jesus knew that, so he's like, okay, listen, I will make room for you. I will make a way for you to do this. I know that the Word is life, and I know that when you come see your flourishing, you need to have the Bible and you need to have community, and I know you can't do that by yourself, so I'll do it. I'll make the way. And you say, well, why couldn't we do it ourselves? It's because of our internal brokenness with sin. Sin is the thing that makes you scroll instead of reading. It's the thing that wants you to have shame and isolation instead of being a part of a known community. So what Jesus did, being fully God and fully man, he came down. He came down and he said, I'll deal with sin. I will deal with the thing that is blocking you from thriving. I will deal with the thing that is blocking you from flourishing. I will deal with the thing that is blocking you from relationship with the Father and with others. Lived a perfect life. He lived the life that we couldn't live, and he died the death that we should have died. All so that we can have access to eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have what? They won't perish, but they'll have eternal life. Knowing the Father, knowing Jesus, getting into the Word, being challenged, living this life like the book of Acts, living the life like the Bereans. I'm going to ask the prayer partners to come up. The Bereans were able to study and gather because they had power too. Jesus gave them power for them. And you might be here and feel like this is great and this is awesome. But I don't know if it can work for me. And I can tell you if it works for you, because if you're here and you're tired of trying to come up with it on your own, Jesus says, yeah, come to me. Everybody who's tired from working, come to me and I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. When you rock with me, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And if you're going through life and life is lifing, and you realize that you're not the captain of your soul, and you realize that you need help, the good thing is that Jesus came to give you help. If you're here and you say, like, I want to get back in the Word, but I've been hurt by people in the Word. People have used the Word to manipulate and to harm me. I'm sorry. Because that's not the way that we see it's supposed to be done. This Word is life. Yes, it's sharp, but it's sharp to give you life. And if that's you and you say, like, I don't know if I can get back in the Word, or you know, I might need help getting into the Word, we want to pray with you. And if you're here and you're like, okay, I've been doing the Word thing, like I'm on watching online, here online, and in Guyana, I'm cool with the Word, and you know, I read my Bible, but I don't really mesh with people. Listen, you need somebody to tell you that your tie is crooked. You need somebody in love to challenge you. You need to be in a community. Why? Because God commands his blessing there. And if you say, like, I've been hurt, or there's something that you want to pray through, everybody down here is just regular people who have experienced the life of the word and the power of community. So Gabby's gonna sing, and if any of that's you, just come up. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to walk through these things with you. If you need prayer for anything else, the altar is open now for you guys. Church, if you're here and you're like, man, like I should have went up. It's okay. The altar's gonna be open. And right outside at the welcome tent, if you need any more information or want to take that next step in getting into the word or getting into community, right outside, we have more information for you. Well, church, I'll pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. You can stand to your feet. I'm praying that, Lord, I pray that your love would be tangibly felt through the pages of Scripture this week. Lord, I'm praying that every time somebody draws near to you, Lord, that you would draw near to them. God, I pray for a boldness to work out community and to get into community this week, Lord. Spirit, you bring boldness in life with you. Help us to follow you, to know you, to digest the words of life, and to be that church that turns the world upside down. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, God bless you. God make his face shine upon you and give you perfect peace. Until next week, you guys are dismissed.